kind, gentle creatures that can only hurt one another by accident. He says, then there are wolves. The wolves will feed on the sheep. They're the sociopaths. They're the criminals. He says, and then there are sheepdogs. The sheep are a little leery of the sheepdog. He wanders around, checks the perimeter every night, and barks at the moon. He would never turn his teeth on the flock, but he yearns for a righteous battle. When the wolf comes around, nothing else will do, and the entire flock is sitting there trying to hide behind one lonely sheepdog as he faces down the wolves. We're talking about a creature who is capable of confronting and dealing with combat and sustaining themselves across the long haul. The goal becomes to be a sheepdog, to be a warrior, to be the one that is ready to respond to the threats when the time arises.
Welcome to Blue Justice, brought to you by Lesma. I always have trouble with that intro. I never know when it's ending, and it's sad because I know I have it memorized. But I sit there in silence for a few seconds, like, yeah. Okay, so we have David Shawless and myself, Amanda, and Tammy on the line. Say hi, guys.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
David, you sound kind of, you're just waking up.
No, my hand is still hurting, so I'm dealing with that issue.
Oh, fun stuff. Fun stuff. Okay, so I put the topic as the direct repercussions of why Lesma's even here because of the media bias. And I just went through really quick and made a list of what's happened in the last, like, 24 hours that I've seen. And I'm just, we'll talk about these cases of what's going on, officers ambushed, officers attacked. Tammy sent me a couple of websites that I haven't gotten to look at yet. So, Tammy, I'm going to let you go over that as we go through. But I do have really quick, Jacksonville, Florida, we had a off-duty narcotics detective shot in the chest in critical condition. That story is really weird. I'm trying to follow it, but I'm not sure what's going on. They said the news reporters are saying that he was shot by other, that the suspect was shot by other officers. And the same news article said that the sheriff is denying that. So I don't know what's going on there. Everything's pretty sketchy right now, and this is the first, I guess it's a new department, and this is the first time that they've had to deal with something like this, so it's going to be, it's a case to watch. But I do have an update on the detective. The detective, I'm getting reports that is expected to survive. He's out of surgery, and he's expected to survive. So thank God on that one. He was shot in the chest. Yeah. Yeah, and again, like, the details on that one are so weird. Huh?
Thank God for vests.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Whenever it said he was shot in the chest and he was found outside of his vehicle, I was pretty worried about that one. The suspect was shot and killed down some railroad tracks a little ways. And there were responding officers and stuff like that, so I just, we don't know. We don't have any other details on that, but we do know that the detective is going to be okay or is expected to be okay. So that's a plus. But I'm looking at these cases in just the last 24 hours, and you've had an NYPD detective shot. That one is reported right now as friendly fire, possible friendly fire. So I don't have any details on that, just what David posted in the group. New Jersey State Police got hit by a car yesterday. That looks like, Eric Potts mentioned that on the radio yesterday, that kind of looks like somebody being an idiot and not getting off the...
And paying paying attention to either your damn cell phone or looking at the scene itself and not paying attention to the road.
Yeah. The purpose of emergency lights is to notify people, is to let people know that there's something there. You know, I mean, there could be cars pulled over on the side of the road without the lights, and it's not going to alert people. The whole reason they have those lights is to let people around you know to move your ass over or to stay away from a scene. If there's an emergency going on, you're not going to help matters by being at the scene. So on the roadway, when you see emergency lights, and I read some of the details, and there were several emergency vehicles. There's the mascot. There were several emergency vehicles on the side of the road. Okay. On the side of the road, and this girl did not get over. This 22-year-old driver, I don't know if it was a female, did not get over and hit a New Jersey State Patrol, and he's deceased. And that's tragic. There are laws for a reason in place about moving over for emergency vehicles. So it's irritating and upsetting that people still don't. I remember in Oklahoma a couple of years ago, we had several construction workers killed in accidents. I think so much that we had to change our laws because people just don't pay attention. But that's another officer down. In New Zealand, we had four shot. That is another case that is interesting. I guess they were, according to the article, they were doing a cannabis operation. Four officers were shot, and this guy is holed up in his apartment or house or whatever it is, and he is on social media and texting his family members outside and saying that he will surrender if his family is allowed to go in and get him. And there are numerous reasons why you don't allow even family members to go into a location to get a suspect.
While you're talking, you know, potential hostage situation, you don't know the state of mind.
Absolutely.
A lot of times, do they care if it's family or friends? No, they're looking for a way out, and they'll use them as a tool to get it.
Yeah. And the mother's like, well, if you'll just let us talk him out. Well, if you're texting him and you're on social media, then do it from there. Because you're looking at the potential, I mean, a very dangerous situation. He's already shot four officers, which, by the way, one is in serious but stable condition, two have been released, and one is still in the hospital with a hand injury. But that is a, like you said, the state of mind is so unpredictable.
Well, a family member trying to talk them out could potentially worsen the situation because, you know, trained negotiators, they go through extensive training. You don't make promises you can't keep, and a family member will do that. And then you're talking about a whole situation blown up in your face. You never let family or friends try and talk them out. That's the worst thing you could do.
Yeah. Yeah, I 100%. There are so many reasons why you just don't. Another thing, and not to sound cold or callous, but a lot of times, I don't know what the stats are, but a lot of times these situations end up with a suicide. And if you allow family members in there, you could possibly end up with a murder-suicide. More bodies that you absolutely could have prevented. Absolutely can be prevented. So it's a dangerous situation to even think about. And the family, like, they're really fighting for this. They're talking about, we'll go hand in hand in there and walk out with him. And it's like, do you not realize the severity of the situation that your son or your loved one has caused? It's wild that people would even, I mean, I'm sorry, I wouldn't ask police to let me in that kind of situation. It's their job to defend the community and defend the safety of everybody, and that includes
the
family of
the suspect. They have the suspect's best interest at heart, too. I mean, they're not there to take a suspect out. They're trying to get him out in one piece. Do they want to shoot him? No, they don't. That's the last resort, absolute last resort. They want to have a nice, calm resolution where everybody's safe, the suspect.
Yep. And they've told him, they actually have said to him, which, I, you know, is probably your trained negotiators, like what you're talking about, they have given him, told him numerous times, if you come out with your hands up, you're not going to be harmed. You will not be harmed. So just, that's all you need to do is just walk out the door with your hands in the air. You're good. And he doesn't want that. I don't understand wanting to put your family in there. I just don't get this situation. But the fact of the matter is, four officers have been shot on that scene.
Well, he's already proven that he's ready to take it to any step or any level he feels necessary. So life obviously is not, the taking of a life is not an issue to him. So he's fully prepared to go out blazing.
Yes. And it's a very, it's just a dangerous situation, a very volatile situation. I will, if I get updates on that, I'll let you guys know. But
I mean,
more,
I hope for, in speedy resolution where nobody else gets harmed. But in the same token, too, I mean, if they have to, you know, remove him from the equation altogether, then so be it. You know, the loss of one to save the many is, I think it's a fair deal considering the circumstances.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, these people are bold. They're emboldened. And let me discuss this one more, and then we'll get on that, because it's alarming to me. But in Greenville, South Carolina, we had a deputy who was doing regular patrol and pulled into a Dollar General, and he finds somebody breaking into a propane tank display, which was actually, there were recent propane burglaries at another store just a few weeks ago. And I'm not an officer, don't know the details, but the guy jumped in his truck when the deputy showed up and intentionally hit the deputy with his truck as he was leaving the scene. The deputy is going to be okay, but again, we're talking about bold criminals. If you are in a car and your deputy is standing there, is, you know, he's not in a protected position. He's obviously exposed to the elements outside. And that, and you're in a vehicle, a running motor vehicle, you have every opportunity just to get away. But instead of him just leaving the scene, he intentionally hits the deputy and then leaves the scene. This emboldenment of these guys, of these people that are doing this, is just incredibly...
Well, I think the mindset of the public at large, I mean, criminals don't play by a rule book to begin with, okay? But I think with the way society has been attacking law enforcement and the way media has been tearing law enforcement apart has made them bolder, because now they feel that they can't be touched, you know, that they're always going to be in the right and they'll get off of whatever problem they got themselves into, and they'll either get very little time or no time at all, because all they got to do is scream that I was mishandled, or, you know, and manhandled by the police, and I wasn't treated appropriately, and, you know, they'll give the old boo-hoo routine, which, you know, I really don't give a flying F, you know, how they feel. You know, you break the law, you suffer the consequences of your actions. You know, I'm not here to hold your hand. I'm not going to coddle you. You knew what you were doing. And if you're going to let, you know, and if the media wants to empower these people by making them think and giving them a false sense of security, that they can go out there and act this way, then they're gravely mistaken, because they're always going to be on the losing end.
Well, the problem is, a big part of the problem is, how many have hit the lottery with stuff like this? How many have hit the lottery? Mike Brown's mother got $1 million from Nelly.
Should never have been paid.
Law.
I mean, yeah, these people
she
here.
She got a free trip to the UN, I think it was the UN Security Council, to talk about humanitarian, U.S. humanitarian treatment, you know, police officers. This woman hits freaking lottery. And that kind of stuff.
They're subsequently looking for the payday. You know, when their loved one wasn't in jail and didn't commit the major offense that ended up ending their life, did they take them in and try and straighten them out? Hell no. Did they care? No. Because they allowed this person to continue on with the lifestyle they were leading. It's only they cared when... person paid the ultimate price. Now they want a payday on it.
Yeah. Mike Brown's mother didn't even raise him. Mike Brown's grandmother raised him. And as soon as, you know, all this happened in Ferguson, where, I don't, for those that don't know, I mean, that have been living under a rock, Mike Brown's grandmother raised him. He was the one in Ferguson, Missouri that started all of that, which ruined an officer's life, completely ruined an officer's life. He is a household name now, and he didn't ask for that. He didn't ask for that. He didn't want that. You don't go into law enforcement, I'm sure, and say, you know what, I want to be famous one day, especially famous because the world thinks I'm a bad person.
Yeah, not under those circumstances, looking for anything like that.
No.
He didn't. That officer did not want to take a life. Let's get this out there. Come on, people. Let's open our eyes here. You know, police officers, law enforcement, you know, don't think that just because they have, you know, every kind of weapon in their arsenal that they're prepared to just use them. They want to resolve the conflict without the use of any kind of force. They would prefer it that way. It's up to you to act accordingly. Do what's right. Do what you're told.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But you have these media stories, you have these celebrities, you have Beyonce, you have all of these people coming out and saying the police are bad and they're out for blood, and however, you know, they're saying all of these things, they're all bad apples, and
you know, organizations like BLM, you know, they all feel like they're entitled to something in life. Okay, well, you know what? The only thing that you were entitled to during your life is taxes, and the only thing that you got looked forward to that's a guarantee is death, okay? Those are the only two guarantees in life, death and taxes, all right? Other than that, everything in between is up to you to make, whether it be positive or negative. You're in control. If you choose to lead a seedy life, guess what? That's all you're going to have. You won't have to worry about anything else.
Absolutely. So we need to figure out what exactly can be done to counter the negative stories, the negativity just in general out there about police. We've all been fighting for over a year. Many ways I can think of, a million things I've seen on Facebook, online, on different, there are some good media outlets out there that try to help the police. There's one in St. Louis, Missouri called the Alderman Report or the Allman Report. I can't remember his exact name. He's covered the police a couple of times, and his stories, I mean, are just hard-hitting. They're awesome. They're awesome. It's called the Final Report or the My Two Cents or something like that, but he lays it out there. He did one on the pig in Ferguson, Missouri that they did, and wrote Darren Wilson's name on it and put a police hat and a badge on it, and roasted it and then sat there and ate it and offered it to police officers. They offered pieces of it to the police, and it was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my life. It was disgusting. And the reason that people act this way is because they feel like they have the media, the politicians, the celebrities, and the corporations' backs, or that those people have their backs. Because they find it entertaining and they think it's funny, and the media will air these stories, and then it's like ripples across the country. They'll see these stories.
Off, know how to report the news accurately. They do it for ratings. They do it for sponsorship. Whatever their sponsors are, you know, affiliated with, you know, they're a bunch of, for the lack of a better term, they're a bunch of kiss asses. Okay, you know, if you're a journalist, you know, I would expect some integrity as somebody who's doing their writing and putting it out there for the public to read. Be accurate.
Well,
so if there was a, you know, a bad thing done on the side of law enforcement, okay, I understand, you know, there mistakes are made, you know, nobody's perfect, everybody will have to pay the piper. But don't go out there falsely accusing or spinning a story just for ratings.
No, and call me jaded, but I honestly thought once upon a time that the media did have integrity. I honestly believed that once upon a time they did report fairly. And I think that somewhere along the lines, it's like, oh, wait a minute, though. These stories get the attention. These stories people pay attention to. It's kind of like what Eric and David were talking about yesterday with the everybody likes to bitch. Everybody loves to complain. It's so fun. It's, you know, we put out a post in the group that says, go get them. And I mean, you'll get tons of responses on it. But then you put out a positive where you say, hey, it's time to build them up, and you'll get maybe a quarter of what you of the people who originally acted to go back
like,
and correct.
Yeah, you
and
got
it's
everybody
the same
roaring
thing.
Like a lion. They go get them, but then when they just want to do a positive thing, you hear nothing but crickets in the room.
That's true, and everybody loves the negativity, and that's, to me, that's disgusting. That's very indicative of your own life, I guess, is the way to put it. I mean, if you are so focused on the negative and so, like, you actually feed on the negative stuff, if you feed on the complaints and the attacks that we can do, and you can't flip that back around and correct it when you need to or take care of the positive, let's not even say correct it. Let's just say it's time for a positive. Hey, this outlet is really covering the police well. We need to give them praise where it's due. And so, you know, we send them, but you people can't flip that around. They just want to do the negative stuff. That's David, take over.
Yeah. I mean, you're absolutely correct, and it's just like a post that Amanda put out yesterday. You know, show me some photographs of how you got involved in your community with your law enforcement in a positive way. We want to see the positive spins. So far, there's only been a handful. I can count on one hand how many people have actually posted something. And I know there are people out there, I know we got listeners that are involved with this stuff. Why they're not sharing it, I don't know. I wish they would. I mean, our group is more than just about, you know, going after the negativity of the situation to help our law enforcement. But let's show the positive side of them, too. You know, you have a positive interaction with law enforcement, promote it.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say the purpose of that, I was actually hoping to get people to actually step out and do something now. So I'm hoping that post in the next few days, you know, I'm giving them 3 weeks. I'm hoping that they actually will go to their department. And I'm going to throw what I'm going to do out there, but I'm going to take a whole bunch of coffee to come and go coffee or come and go gift. Well, I don't know. They get – maybe not. I just realized I think they get – never mind. Okay. But I'm going to take – or maybe cookies or something. I've done that several times, taken package stuff to the department. But just to let – now, Pryor, Oklahoma, I am not going to lie. They better know by now that we are very supportive of them in our community. They really should know that because we are very active. But I want other communities to know the same. I want people to go, you know what, I have never done anything for my officers, and you may be the only person in the last year who's went up and said, thank you, officer, or we support you in this community. Just because you don't see us all the time doesn't mean that we don't support you. I just want to help raise their morale. I want them to understand that there are people there, and I want every department in the entire country to know this, even if you're one person. Another idea that I had that I would love to do, and it's easy to do here, is call the schools. Now, this works better in smaller communities, obviously. I mean, if you're in New York City, you're probably not going to get anywhere. But in a smaller community, call your school and say, hey, I would like to take some cards to the police department. Can you have some classrooms? Ask their kids to take 5 minutes and make a thank you officer card. I'll collect them. I'll deliver them. Can you do this? You know, and then you get the classroom dialogue going with the kids. It's important that the kids respect and understand law enforcement. It's, you know, but there's so many ideas that you can do.
I mean, and
David,
I'll just put this out there. I know I was speaking of the negative in retrospect to your post, you know, saying that there's only a handful. I am by no means slamming anybody within our group. Please don't misunderstand me. I know you support law enforcement, but just go out and just a random act of kindness, you know, an acknowledgement, a handshake, you know, or I appreciate you in passing. You know, that goes a long, long way. And I know everybody is capable of doing it. I do it all the time. I know Amanda does it. I know Tammy does it. And I definitely know David does it and everybody else involved. So for those people that are listening, I know you're capable of doing it, and I'm sure you probably do it. But just go out, just a random act of kindness, showing your support.
And listen, let me talk to the civilians for a second here, because I am one. I know how it goes. And it can be, some people get nervous. Some people get nervous. They're like, I remember delivering a letter one time, and it was a police department I did not know, and I'm like, are they going to look at me and, like, roll their eyes at me? Are they going to be like, oh, my God, another supporter or another? But they never do, and they never will, because they do appreciate the support. They do appreciate knowing that there are people in their community that do support them. So don't be afraid. Don't be intimidated. You know, I'm actually, like, a very shy person. It doesn't – you wouldn't know that if you've met me, because I'm pretty good at turning it off, but I am extremely shy. I don't really like to have conversation with people I don't know. And so I know how hard that can be to just walk into a police department and say, hey, can I drop off some cookies? I know how that can be, but you make all the difference in the world. You make all the I was talking about a letter we had the other day. I asked, we asked the group a while back, I think it was back in September, to print a letter and take it to your department. And it was just saying who we were, and we support you, and I am in your community, and I support you. And I will never forget this. I'm scrolling through Facebook one day, and I posted by a Facebook page I've never heard of. The letter's pretty crinkled up. It was the day we posted that letter. And the letter's pretty crinkled up. You could tell that it had been passed around between the department. Lots of people had their hands on it, you know. And the post by this Facebook page said, my dad, who's the chief, brought this home today, and he said it made his entire week. And I swear to God, I cried. I swear to God, I was like, oh, my God, we're getting something done. We're doing this. I have no idea what state that group was in, where that letter went to. I know that there were numerous people in the group who had participated in that, obviously, that very day. And to just to see it in your news feed from a Facebook page you've never even heard of, someone had shared it, and it's like, holy crap. And if that made that much of a difference to me, imagine how it does feel to your officers. If you are the only one who does that, imagine how that feels to them.
It works absolute wonders because, you know, I'll give you from my perspective, you know, you get up in the morning, you know, when I was on, and the first thing that runs through your mind on your way to work is like, what the hell am I going to face today? You know, because the civilians have to remember, we see the gruesome side of society, the stuff that you only see or hear about in the news or read in the newspaper or hear word of mouth. But we see it, we live it, we're part of it, and it affects our daily life every day. And for anybody to say it doesn't affect them is lying. It does it takes its toll on you. And for somebody to just come up and do something like that, it shows us that there is, you know, a level of humanity in the world that cares. And you're not in the
Absolutely.
Dark.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They're not alone. We have to let them know they're not alone, because right now the media, the celebrities, the politicians are the worst. And actually, someone commented on my post, and I'm going to share the comment. It says, I hope people seriously consider their vote this year, especially when it comes to safety and safety of our officers. Where are we without them? And it's, you know, that's the quickest way to get, or the most productive way to get something done is voting, 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 voting. I can't stress that enough. Know who you're voting for, know what you're voting for, and get out there and do it, because These are the people that write your laws. These are the people that write your city ordinances. These are the people that, you know, on a state level, on a federal level, you need to understand government, have a simple, basic understanding of politics, and you need to vote in the people that have your law enforcement officers' best interest at heart. You do. Andrew Callis in Harris County is one that we endorse, and I just want to throw his name out there. We need to vote for these people. David vetted him himself. We did extensive work checking into him and talking to him, and he's one. If you are in Texas, Harris County, Precinct 3, County Commissioner is what he's running for. His name isn't even on the ballot. We got to have signatures. We need you guys on the streets doing this stuff. Get active in your community, because sitting here on Facebook and things like that, you get things done, but you could get so much more done if you put your butt in the streets and do something. I just had to throw that out there.
You know, and
a lot of
you
people think this stuff costs too. Sorry.
Do what? No, I mean, no, do what?
A lot of people think this stuff, you know, that it costs, but it really doesn't. Nothing more than your time, you know. You shake somebody's hand and tell them you appreciate all that they do for you, and it makes their day. It does not cost. You don't have to buy cookies. You don't have to buy cards. You can make a card if you want, but you can just show up, and it really makes all the difference. Just having somebody be there that just
absolutely
really makes a difference.
And on that note, I lost what I was going to say completely. I lost what I was going to say. Sorry, Tammy. I guess keep talking for a second, and I'll think of it. I can't believe I did that. I glanced over it, and I see I have a message from you. Whoops.
Well, like you were talking about.
It doesn't cost anything. Oh, no. I know what I was going to say, and it's important. I know what I was going to say. If you truly care about something, if you truly care, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's your car. I don't care if it's your house, your kids. I don't care if, you know, if it's your law enforcement, if it is, you know, your local thug, whatever it is. If you care about something, you make time for it. Nobody is too busy for something they care about. And that is bottom line, 100% the truth. If you actually care, get your butt, that your time is worth it to you. If you care about what's going on Facebook, you make time to check your Facebook every day, correct? Yes. If you care about your local Cub Scout pack, you make time for that. That is bottom line, no matter what you care about, what your passion is, if you truly care, you will find time. Even if it is 10 seconds a day, 5 minutes a day, you will find time. So if law enforcement, if your law enforcement matters that much to you, you have the 5 seconds to stop and shake an officer's hand. You have the split second it takes while you're walking out of the gas station to say, see one and say, thank you for what you do, and keep walking. You have time. Go ahead, Tammy.
I was just going to say, unless people actually do something, nothing's going to change. You have to care enough to make the change. That's what's important. And it's not about getting recognition either. It's not you getting a pat on the back. You know, you do it. You send a letter, drop it off, and not even leave your name. You don't have to do that. It's just more we're showing our appreciation for them, because that is what the whole point of this group is to make the difference, where we're seeing people die, you know, on average about every 3 to 4 days. That's how many we have lost in this short time that we've been in 2016. People are ambushed every other day on average. You know, it's just if you want to see a change, if you want a difference to be made, you have to do something. You know, one voice isn't going to be loud enough, but together we can make a difference. And that's what we're here for.
You know,
absolutely.
People have to remember, you know, when it comes to law enforcement, you know, a police officer, when they answer a call, they're not looking to see, yeah, they may, let's say they know the history of that place where they're going to and they've been there before, but they go into it with an understanding that even if there was a criminal there that they've arrested before, but that criminal, that prior criminal's, you know, was the one that was assaulted, or, you know, they go into it unbiased. They protect the criminals too. Let's face it. You know, well, I'm not saying people go out and break the law every day. Even your most lofty criminal is not out there breaking the law every day. And sometimes his rights are violated by somebody out there, and they're hurt or whatnot. Does the officer go in and say, well, you're just a criminal anyway, so I really don't give a shit? You know, no, they don't do that. They go in there with the understanding, I'm here to help everybody, regardless. It doesn't matter what you look like, what you've done. The situation at hand is what they're dealing with.
Yeah, absolutely.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And remember, whenever an officer approaches you, 9 times out of 10, especially like a traffic stop, they don't know you. They don't know you from Adam. You might know that you support law enforcement. You know, I have stickers all over my car, but somebody could have stolen my car for all they know. You know, I mean, every situation they have to approach neutral, and they have to approach professionally, and they have to have their guard up. They have to, because they don't know you from Adam, and that's, I think that's important,
you know,
for people to remember.
Traffic stops, because a lot of people don't know and realize this. Statistically speaking, most fatalities involving police officers result in death or injury at traffic stops. Nothing else, it's traffic stops, because you're up against the total unknown. You can't see the person's hands, what they're planning to do. You don't know if they were a fleeing felon from another county, another state. You know, and they're trying to dodge the law, you know, and they're willing to do anything and take any means necessary to get away from you. And if that means taking you out, that's what they're going to do. So, yeah, the officer is going to approach every car with extreme, extreme caution. And if, you know, you do something that you shouldn't be doing, you know, making your hands visible and whatnot, yeah, he's going to approach you with a little bit more caution than, you know, than if you just made your hands visible to him, so he could see what you're doing.
Tammy, what kind of numbers are you seeing on the websites that you sent me just in the last, like, week?
Oh, in the last week? You're going to have to give me a second. I can tell you.
Yeah. Go ahead.
As far as the total of deaths for the year, we have had 18 line-of-duty deaths. I do not know if this includes, you know, every section. We've got police, sheriff. There was one, it was Secret Services, I believe it said. And I think there's another website that has more numbers. It's a lot more, but it's to include, like, automobile accidents. We also have 8 canine deaths as of this year. This week it's been updated on the 8th. That's the last day it's been updated. We had Trooper Sean Cullen on March 8th, Police Officer Scott Fitzgerald on March 4th, and Police Officer David Stefan Hoffer. I'm not sure. I may be misspelling. And that was on March 1st. We had Deputy Sheriff Travis Russell on March 1st as well. That is just for this month.
And that is entirely too many names. Entirely too many.
For this month. And that is
for this month,
know, as of yesterday.
And what were they saying? The first LODD, which I think it was by gunfire, last year was on March 1st, is that correct?
March 4th was the first, and we have 18 already.
And we already have 4 this month in the first
mm-hmm.
8 days, and then 18 for the year. That's maddening.
And on Police Ambush, there have been 23 ambushes so far out of 68 days.
And officer ambush covers ambushes where even when the officer does survive and things like that, it covers all of that. And you said, what, 23 ambushes this year?
23 in 68 days. And I can tell you the majority are East Coast states.
Ooh.
Almost all of them are on our East Coast. Well, I mean, there's like... one in California, one in Utah, one in Colorado, one in Arizona. But, I mean, the majority heavily.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I know.
Sorry.
I'm saying there's only one
okay,
of those. But the other states, it's like multiple in each state on the East Coast. Quite a bit.
Well, I can tell you this, but, you know, from the statistics that you're reading, you know, I look back, you know, when I was a younger individual, much younger, and you guys were just a glimmer in your parents' eye at that time. I'm talking about a day where officers, yeah, did they come up against adversity and possibly, you know, be assaulted, you know, during their course, you know, of years on the job. But the loss of life to police officers, I can remember as a child and a teenager and as a young adult, you know, you may hear of an officer's death in the line of duty maybe once every 5 years or so, you know, and then I saw a dramatic increase when I got on the job, and then when I left, I mean, the violence against officers started to increase, not to the point where it's at now, but... it has grown exponentially to the point where there is just no respect whatsoever. I mean, even back in the day when I was younger, even the criminals, they still had a respect for the law officer. They did. Even though they broke law, they still had a degree of respect, just like they have, you know, honor amongst thieves, so to speak. They still had a certain level of respect for law enforcement, and now that is totally gone. I mean, it is totally gone.
Well, we're back to the emboldenment by the media and your politicians. Whenever you have a very loud voice, a group of people with a very loud voice, all of your politicians, nearly all of your media, especially your mainstream media like your CNN, your MSNBC, and all they want to talk about, there's a website out there, I would have to think about what it's called. Someone, you guys can hit me up later if you want to look at it, but it's Media Research or something, Media Research Center. And they had, in April and May of 2015, they counted the minutes of, and this is what they do, they count the minutes of everything that the media covers. And they were record-breaking for police. And, I mean, there was a beheading going on or something, some ISIS big story or a few big stories in that time frame. And I want to say one of those months, even though this was going on, this ISIS stuff, ISIS was number two talked about in the media, but, like, police was, like, 101 minutes, and ISIS was, like, 18, number two. That's how bad... that this is. That's how, and I haven't looked at that. I need to pull up that website and look again because they do. They break it down by all topics. And police brutality was number one topic, and I want to say it was like 101 minutes versus number two, ISIS, 18 minutes. Something like that. It was very dramatic like that, a very dramatic difference, and it was for several months. There were 3 or 4 months in a row that police brutality, quote-unquote, was the number one talked about topic. And that was whenever, guys, take over for a second.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you look at these brutality cases, you know, and if you dissected each one of those cases, you know, 9 out of 10.
Wait, I mean, really, really quick, before you do that, the police, what they're referring to as police brutality, like that's what the media was calling it, but we're talking about Darren Wilson, Mike Brown, Ferguson. We're talking about SRO Benfield, which didn't happen in that time frame. But those kind of, you know, it was just, it was your mainstream stories that they filtered as police brutality in all of these cases. And they were using cases that have been disproven of police brutality. So that's even worse. But go ahead, David.
Well, like I was saying, you know, if you research the actual brutality of these cases they're, you know, putting out there, it's always somebody who fought with the police. Yeah, he had to be tackled. Oh, police brutality. No, that wasn't police brutality. The guy just refused to comply and fought you, you know, and he went fighting tooth and nail. So subsequently, he ended up sustaining maybe an injury or something in that, you know, in the course of it all. And, you know, just because you come to an injury at your own hand, that doesn't make a police brutality.
Mm-mm. You're 100% right, but that's what the media was doing. And that just goes to show how bad it is, how bad it was. I'll pull up that website and look. I believe it's Media Research Center, and they do everything. They cover all topics. They actually just sit and watch the news and count the minutes that they discuss each topic. So, and they break it down by different outlets as well. So, it's a very interesting little tidbit. But again, it's back to, you were saying how it used to be, criminals used to have a respect for the law. But when you're getting hammered with 101 minutes, you know, what is that? Five times as much airtime as any other story. And the public is sitting here hearing this. It's being pounded into their head over and over and over. Police brutality, Mike Brown, you know, Darren Wilson. And I can think of so many more, but I don't want to, for disclaimer reasons, I don't want to throw anything else out there. But I mean, you know, like, well, I did SRO Benfield. Same thing, though. The media, that's their favorite thing to cover, and the public is hearing nothing. Yes.
I've got to send you something. I'm sorry. It literally just popped up in my search results. ACLU of Southern California just released an app to send in videos of police brutality. I'm going to send it to you so that you can view it, but we need to look into this. I mean, the video actually looks like it's old, but I've never heard of this. Have you heard of this?
No.
It sounds vaguely familiar. I'm not sure, though. But it does vaguely sound familiar.
Sorry, I didn't mean to, like, interrupt.
You're fine. You're fine. I mean,
it's
that's
newly posted, but it looks like the video's from last year, so.
Okay. Well, on the same token as the ACLU looking for police brutality, we had a media outlet in Florida one time when Lesma was pretty young that was looking for negative police stories. They put out a post. Mm-hmm. We took care of this one. We actually... this is one of Lesma's victories. All thanks goes to David on that one. So they put out a post asking, have you been pulled over by the police? Were you treated unfairly? Were you whatever, whatever? I'm summarizing. And we're like, why are you looking for negative police stories? Why? Mm-hmm. You know? And so Lesma took this little thing on. And David got in touch with the reporter, and the reporter was like, oh, no, it's not like that. And he's like, really? You know, and then the reporter said, well, I can't prove anything to you right now. Just wait until my article is released and you'll see. It's not meant to be slanted against police. David was like, okay, you know, we'll see. And that article was never released. That reporter never wrote his article and the post came down. So,
Mobile Justice. Have you heard of that one?
Of what?
It's called Mobile Justice.
I haven't, but the ACLU, they're looking for, they're always on the fringe. I mean, they're always looking for, like, the most controversial cases that they can, and I think the fact that they have this app speaks a lot, again, to the state of the law enforcement being attacked right now. The fact that the ACLU is like, hey, let's go get some police brutality videos. I just think that's
definitely out of context.
What's going on.
I mean,
yes.
When you grab, even their example in the video, when you grab just a quick, you know, few second video, and in their example, they were showing this man walking up saying, well, it was an officer saying, I told you to stop recording. And so he immediately hits stop, and it sends the video to the police department. And that's how they're, you know, they're trying to say just out of context, like, oh, this guy's beating him. So, and it doesn't even show the rest of what's going on. You know, we have something like that go out, you're not going to know the full story of what happened in the first place if
right.
an officer's defending themselves.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that is like the number one problem with all of this, with these videos that come out. Someone tagged me in one yesterday, and it's literally like 10 seconds. And it's
mm-hmm.
like, what do you think about this? And I've gotten to where I'll save the video for future reference if I need it, but I don't even comment because I don't know the story. I don't know
mm-hmm.
what that's about. And you have to dig for hours sometimes because they will try so hard to stifle the original story. You can't actually figure out what's going on because they only want certain parts seen, and it makes it, and you've got your public that just eat out of the media's hands. They're like, oh my God, look at that. That is so brutal. That is so brutal. And you're like, do you know
it's
what
happened?
It's
hard when they share like old stuff. Whenever people share old
mm-hmm.
stuff, you've got to check your dates. You really do. You know, I've seen videos of chases, or, you know, where it looked like somebody was recently killed or, you know, is being charged, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, what's going on? And then find out it's like from 2 years ago or last
yeah.
spring. You know, it's really frustrating. You have to check.
You know what's
to verify.
Also, what else is frustrating about all this situation, about the negativity towards law enforcement? You can go back in the 80s and whatnot, and, you know, prior presidencies, you know, when an officer was killed, the first thing the White House did was get involved in, you know, in support of the department that lost one of their fallen officers, where you would see the president doing a press conference and representatives from that department were present at that press conference, standing in the background, and the president was showing support for that department and the loss that it created, and not only for that department, but for the nation as a whole. And where we stand today, where we have, and I use the term loosely, commander-in-chief, because in my eyes, he's none of those, has a total disrespect and has shown it to the public, the American public, that they don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And he's he should be the one that's standing up for what's right, and he's standing up for the total opposite. He's standing up for lawlessness. That's what he's standing up for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's a shame when, you know, it's a shame when you have somebody that sits in the highest office in our nation that can't even take 5 minutes out of his, I understand, busy schedule to make it known that, hey, we understand your loss, we grieve with you, and make it also a public statement, you know, whether he does it personally or through letter, but tell the American public that you're watching and that you care. He could give a shit less.
No, because he's busy golfing. I mean, that schedule is so busy. He's had time to golf more than any
too busy inviting
normal working human being I've ever seen in my life.
I mean, he's too busy inviting, BLM to the White House for lunch for a press conference, and he's too busy inviting children that build clocks and suitcases to the White House.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the
sure
fact
thing.
That people... Huh?
Oh, I was just going to say the first complaint I ever heard was all the vacations that they took. That was the first
complaint. Oh, yeah,
that's
all they do is, you know, they show him going here, going there. Meanwhile, something tragic just happened. Is he getting involved in it? No. He's too busy. Hey, we're going to Disneyland. Well, you know what? Screw you. You're doing that on my dime, you asshole.
So I read yesterday, and I have not confirmed, but maybe one of you guys know for sure. I read yesterday that he's skipping Nancy Reagan's funeral for an entertainment festival. Anybody know that to be true?
Luke, that's absolutely correct.
I didn't
know that. That is absolutely correct.
Do what,
he doesn't know the first thing about presidential decorum whatsoever. He has no respect for others except himself. He is a selfless, irresponsible. Somebody should never hold office. Why he made it, I'm actually in awe that he made it to a second term. I really am. You know, after the first, you know, term that he put in, you would think that the American public would have been fed up with his bullshit then. But what the hell? You put him back in there?
I honestly, so I hold election parties at my house on election night with my family, my nieces, and yes, I really do. I'm a nerd. But I want them to understand the election process, and I want them to understand government. It's a perfect opportunity for them to really get to understand and get a grasp, because one of these days they're going to grow up and they're going to be like, oh, my Aunt Amanda taught me this. So I was holding an election party at my house for, you know, when Mitt Romney and Barack Obama, and when they called it Obama, I have never, ever felt so let down by the general public. We all just knew that we were going to have something to celebrate that night at my house, and it didn't happen. And that was the worst night ever. I will never forget, like, you really just lose faith. I really was shocked at that. I was like, wow.
I mean, at that point, when he got reelected, it felt at that point, like you said, you're looking for something to celebrate. I think people that really wanted to see this nation go forward in a positive way, that became a day of mourning.
It was. I can't even explain the feeling that overcame me, like, of being let down. You just felt so let down, and you were like, how? How did this happen? You know, like, how is it even possible that this happened? It was a horrible day, and I'm shocked. And then,
actually surprised, too. I think he really didn't seem like he was trying that hard. I swear, it just felt like he was just sitting there silently, like, almost like he had just given up. I thought for sure he had given up from trying. I mean, he did something, right? But to get,
well,
you know,
the polls had Romney up. The, you know, God, it was wild. It just, I don't know. And it really felt like a victory. And no, it's crazy. But he left his, he gives time and attention to the squeaky wheels. He had Black Lives Matter at the White House a couple weeks ago. That kind of stuff right there is so dangerous, I guess.
Well,
we fight as LESMA.
All you're doing is showing the nation that he supports lawlessness, so you as the criminal, hey, if the president believes it, so do I.
Yeah. But the thing is that we as LESMA, we fight so hard for people to be that voice. Black Lives Matter is this monstrous, powerful voice that, because they're loud, they make their presence known, and, you know, we are not going to go out and burn down buildings. It ain't happening. It is not happening. But there are other ways for us to be heard and to be not be the silent majority any longer. Let's be the vocal majority. Because Black Lives Matter is a vocal minority, not not the ethnicity, but they're a vocal minority in the numbers. In the numbers.
Well, they're not only
and
vocal.
They're
physical. Let's face it, they're physical.
Right. Right, but that's my point. And he invites these people to the White House, whereas, you know, we as LESMA, we as police supporters need to be more vocal. We need, that's why I'm trying to get people in their communities, trying to get things done, because we have to be heard. Black Lives Matter is a household name. LESMA is not. Any police supporter group, even as big as some of them are, they are not household names. And the reason is that we do our support and we do it quietly and, you know, we just do what we do. But we need to make our presence known in the community. We need to be approaching our officers. Thank you for what you do. Going to your departments, doing things to be, you know, painting signs at the police department, asking them, what can we do for you? And then doing it, following through with it. We've got to be heard. We've got to be seen, or we're not going to get anywhere.
Well,
not,
that's exactly,
and that's the most important thing.
If you go through with the attitude that, you know, hey, if the president is making statements like this supporting, you know, anti-law enforcement atmosphere, and you're thinking to yourself, well, how do I compete with that? You know, he's talking to a nation where I can only talk to maybe a handful of people at a time. But you know what? Don't sell yourself short. If you talk to one person, they talk to 10 people, and each one of those people talk to 10 people. It does have a snowball.
And everybody has to start somewhere. Everybody.
Exactly.
So we have to build ourselves to that. We need to build ourselves to be a household name. We need to, we need that, you know. And David and I work so hard, and Karen and Tammy, we all work so hard on trying to find routes to help be heard. And we have, you know, that's what this radio is about partially. And that's what we do. But every single member of our group is a voice. Every one of them, a voice that could be used. And that's what we have to do. We have to, that has to be worked on. You know, we, again, if you care about something, you're going to find time for it.
Well, don't,
that's all there is to it.
You know, walk the walk, you know, stand by your convictions, and if you, you know, if you're doing what's right, you know, nobody can ever slight you for it.
Yep.
And you, if you back the wrong party, I suggest maybe doing a little bit more homework on who you're backing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, guys, we're in overtime, and yeah, we're going to go ahead and sign off, I guess. We will see you guys on Friday. Hopefully it's Fun Friday again. I don't know. I haven't ran that by David, but I would like to do it, you know, just kind of do the upbeat, happier tone.
We kind of lost
Ken
the last time, so hopefully he'll be able to get in this time.
Yeah, I spoke to him. Yeah, well, I spoke to him, and he has a couple of topics lined out, and I don't know if he has he was supposed to reach out to David, and I don't know if he has yet. I'll find out before Friday for sure. But anyway, okay, guys, so see you guys on Friday, and everybody have a good rest of the week. And I'll talk to you soon.
Have a safe one.
Thank you guys for calling.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Talk to y'all later.
Bye.
Take care, everyone.